All right, well, let me jump on into the Right Side Way opening monologue, and I'll remind you guys that the opening monologue, the Right Side Way, sponsored for you every single day by attorney Stan McDonald out of the partner at the law firm of Wilmer and Lee in Huntsville, and I'll tell you more about Stan McDonald here in just a minute. So, yeah, today is the day of the March for Life in Washington, D.C. It's a day when people surge to our nation's capital to celebrate the fact that life begins at conception and that life is precious and should be defended at all costs. We now live in a post-Roe world where abortion is not the absolute law of the land anymore. The Supreme Court saw fit to reverse Roe and send the matter back to the individual states and affirm that there is no such thing as a constitutional right to end the life of a human being. Now, I, for one, am decidedly pro-life, always have been. Democrats, they can be a mixed bag. I mean, occasionally you'll find someone who identifies themselves as a pro-life Democrat, but they've become like political unicorns. We've always talked about them, but we've never really seen them, right? The Democrat Party tried to make abortion the center of their ill-fated, misguided attempts to keep control in the last election cycle, but look, it's an uphill climb to convince the majority of a whole nation that things like being able to afford food for your family or security for the southern border are somehow less important than being able to terminate a pregnancy on demand. I mean, if Democrats had their way, Planned Parenthood would open up drive-through abortion clinics staffed with minimum wage interns and put them on every street corner in America. But let me give you another thought. Let me suggest to you that while defeating the abortion-minded agenda and overturning Roe v. Wade was huge, and it was, that was just a battle. See, those of us that are pro-life need to make sure that we win the larger war, and that was one battle. We need to do that, though. We have to be pro-life after the womb as well. Being pro-life means that we support living, and that means that we are providing strong alternatives and opportunities to those who felt the need to even consider an abortion in the first place. So occasionally I get asked what my favorite moments in the state Senate were. I mean, to be sure, there were several spread out over an eight-year period. I can distinctly remember the night we passed the first ever measure of school choice in Alabama. I recall the very first caucus meeting for the new Republican majority in the Senate when, for the first time in Alabama history, we didn't have enough chairs in the room to seat all the new Republican senators, and some of the old guys got moved to tears about it. I remember passing legislation that kept a giant green energy wind farm from setting up on a scenic byway next to a pastoral farmland in my district. I remember a group of high school students that I assisted who made it their mission in life to name a highway in my district after the veterans of Afghanistan and Iraq because, in their words, it was the war of their generation. Look, there were economic development bills, there was getting a raise for deputies, there was balancing the budgets, there was cutting our own legislative pay to prove the point that it could be done, and a whole slew of unsung moments with constituents that made it all seem worthwhile. But, one day when I was speaking to a group of students, and one of them asked me point blank, what was my favorite thing, the most favorite of all, that I had done when I was in the state Senate, I knew what it was. And it may surprise you. It was Senate Bill 280. The amended Section 22 of the Alabama Code during the 2012 regular session. So here's the story. Some very close friends of mine for many years, to my wife Charlene and I, are Chris and Karen May. Chris has been here on Right Side Radio with me several times. His son is Boomer, who sat in the seat where JP is now for quite a while. So Chris has been on Right Side Radio talking about the ministry that they have had to the Ukraine for a number of years. And their calling to the people of Ukraine dates back a number of years and began with the impact that a tour of a Ukrainian orphanage had on their hearts. So my friends, the May family, they were the first family I ever met who went through a foreign adoption. They saw children in an orphanage and they felt compelled, called really, that their next child was already born and was living in Ukraine. She was, and her name is Karina. So the May family went through all the bureaucratic machinations, the legal wrangling, the State Department approvals, the multiple trips overseas. They hired interpreters, foreign lawyers, and after what seemed like an eternity, they were able to bring Karina home to Alabama. They went through everything it takes to not only make her a part of the family and to ensure that her U.S. citizenship was established, everything. They also did everything that it takes to adopt the child multiplied by a factor in expense of 10, but they discovered, though, that there was still more to do. So my friend Chris, he came to see me in my capacity as a lawyer in 2011 because it turned out that, who knew, Alabama was one of the few states that had laws on the books that required what was known as a readoption process. Yeah, I discovered that because of the May family, I was now made aware that Alabama law made the foreign adoption process more difficult because we required that every parent who adopted a foreign child had to do it twice, including all the legal costs of doing so. Why? Who knows? So I handled the issue as their attorney, and I was proud to stand with them in the probate court and celebrate Karina's second adoption. It was a blessing. But next came the most favorite thing I ever got to do in the Alabama Senate just a few months later. I drafted a bill that became Senate Bill 280, and we passed it into law with a unanimous bipartisan vote. Upon taking effect on January 1 of 2013, the new law did away with all the archaic need for a second adoption, and it streamlined the adoption process for countless adoptive parents of foreign children. I mean, to further crown the moment, too, my colleagues agreed that Section 1 of the Act should state, quote, "Be it enacted by the legislature of Alabama, this act shall be known and may be cited hereafter as Karina's Law." God, it was huge. It was a great day, too, when Governor Robert Bentley held a special bill signing in the old House chamber in the Alabama State Capitol building. And the May family, with Karina May present, looked on and had their pictures made with the governor while he signed a bill into law to codify a step forward to build stronger families in Alabama, and we named it after their daughter. It was a moment I'll never forget. So I tell that story for the simple but profound reason that Karina's Law is a clear indication that state legislatures can, when they want to, take actions that impact families that they serve in ways that go beyond things like budgets and schools and Medicaid and all the other governance. And right now, in the post-Roe world, adoption needs to be front and center again. You see, for 50 years, pro-life conservatives have been fighting against abortion, and they carried the fight forward despite the fact that the abortion industry is a big money special interest. And they fought despite the fact that the left demonized and doxed and demonstrated against anybody who dared to question whether life in the womb was really a life in the womb. And they fought. And they won. Despite political paralysis that saw many politicians even become indifferent over time. So while not entirely a Republican matter, I will say this. The fact remains the Republican Party is the one that maintained the right to life in its party platform. And it was largely Republican-led efforts in the legislative processes that kept the political side of the fight alive, including right here in Alabama. The Alabama Republican Party supermajority is now like the proverbial dog that chased cars every day and then one day finally caught the bumper. The question is, okay, we won, so what now? Well, let me suggest that we dispel any of the liberal talking points that say that conservatives don't care about children and families by not taking action that furthers life after birth. We should work now to extend the pro-life movement to not only preserve life in the womb, but to enhance the quality of life for children outside the womb. And one of the chief means we can do that is just to take the extra steps to streamline the adoption processes in every state. I mean, let's make sure the laws on the books are amenable, agreeable, and workable for the average person. States can do things like reduce the cost for filing fees on the legal work to get an adoption done. Legislators, they ought to work toward allowing incentives like tax credits and adoption scholarships and early childhood health care credits and more. The State Bar Association can work with Alabama attorneys and get them to handle adoption cases and incentivize them to work pro bono or to at least allow a tax credit for having done so. Doctors who practice in the realm of pediatrics, they should be incentivized to do things like prenatal and early childhood wellness checks for families that choose to forego abortion and choose adoption. Look, the opportunities are endless, and in truth, you could do it really with one omnibus adoption bill if you wanted to. The Bible says throughout that we should bring justice to the fatherless and that God upholds the fatherless. Jesus said to allow the little children to come to Him. We as a state should do the very things that I'm talking about with that very sentiment. And as more and more young mothers realize that abortion is not a solution, and in some states it's not even an option anymore, like Alabama, let's make sure that pro-life means pro-living, and that we have done all that we can as a state to promote life in the womb and after birth. I'm telling you, it is possible to further promote life in a post-Roe world, and we should. And my friends can tell you all about it. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.